And welcome to this Sunday morning lecture, which, as usual, will be on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and also simultaneously we continue our dialogue on community building and different parameters of successful community building. Verse is getting ready. So today, do we know how many people we have online? Here in the temple, for those who cannot see because they're at home, we have about 250, 270 people. Please come closer. There is more space. Leave space for people who come inside. Okay. So, today, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are in the Madhya Lila, and we are in chapter 22. Entitled The Process of Devotional Service. And I was asked to pick up a verse from 50 to 100. And this is Lord Chaitanya teaching Sanatana Goswami, therefore really setting the basis for the whole Sankirtan movement for the future. And in this section there are a number of very important verses, famous verses. He focuses a lot on the nature of pure devotion, on the three types of devotees, Uttamadhyaya, Kanishta, and the importance of association, like there's the famous verse, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. And there's a lot of quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So today, the spirit of community and the spirit of exploring the principles of successful Vaishnava community, we see a verse which is on the board, and it's also a Bhagavatam verse, and so we'll read this verse. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana kataha Tadjoshanadashu apavarga vartmani Shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishati. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido Bhavanti ritkarna rasayana kata Joshanadashu apavarga vartmani Shraddha, Ratir, Bhaktir, Anukramishati. Okay. Satam of the devotees Prasangat. By the intimate association, Mama, of me, Virya Samvidaha, talks full of spiritual potency, Bhavanti, appear, Rit, to the heart, Karna, and to the ears, Rasa Ayanaha, a source of sweetness, kata, talks, tat, of them, joshanat, from proper cultivation, ashu, quickly, apavarga, of liberation, vartmani, on the path, shraddha, faith, rati, attraction, bhaktihi, love, anukramishati, will follow one after another. Translation, the spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed only in a society of devotees. And it is greatly pleasing to hear in that association. If one hears from devotees, the way of transcendental experience quickly opens and gradually one attains firm faith that in due course develops into attraction and devotion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25. For an explanation, see Adi Lila 160. This verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25, where Kapila Deva replies to the questions of his mother, Devahuti, about the process of devotional service. As one advances in devotional activities, the process becomes progressively clearer and more encouraging. Unless one gets the spiritual encouragement by following the instructions of the spiritual master, it's not possible to make advancement. Therefore, one's development of a taste for executing these instructions is the test of one's devotional service. Initially, one must develop confidence by hearing the signs of devotion from a qualified spiritual master. Then, as he associates with devotees and tries to adopt the means instructed by the spiritual master in his own life, his misgivings and other obstacles are vanquished by his execution of devotional service. Strong attachment for the transcendental service of the Lord develops as he continues listening to the message of Godhead, and if he steadfastly proceeds in this way, he is certainly elevated to spontaneous love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Om Bishop Adhari Krishna Vestaya Budhale Shimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sinduva Cha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Satam Prasangam. Ultimately, when we talk about community, we talk about a number of people doing something in common. Community, meaning some people come together. And this is a particular type of community because it's the satam of the devotees, the sadhus, the people obedient to the Lord, those who are trying to develop their devotional qualities and their devotional life. Prasangat. Here we have prasangat. It's not only sangha, it's prasanga. It means very much sangha. Srila Prabhupada translates by intimate association. So, devotees come together and what they do? They talk. Like when people come together, they talk. But because they're devotees, they talk about Mama Virya Samvida. The Kapila Deva say, they talk about me, my very powerful, he's Vishnu Tattva, so he can talk like that. He says, they talk about my very powerful activities. The talks, Samvida, the exchanges, are Virya, are powerful. And virya means that there is an effect. This is not prajalpa. This is not gossip. This is not just a shooting the breeze. This is not just a social gathering. Oh, how are you? How are you? Who bought the cow? Who sold the cart? Those are in bygone ages. That was the gramyakata. Now maybe who bought the car? Or, who divorced and things like that. But it's not just. It's a powerful Samvidha is a powerful exchanges, and there is a direct effect in the heart, and there is a transformation of the heart, and basically this opens up the door of liberation, apavarga, and the practical effect, tangible effect, individually tangible, is there is a increase in shraddha, increase in faith. Through this process of socialization, one increases his faith in God, increases his faith in the protection of God, increases his faith in the power of devotional service. And then, when he continues without deviation, then this shraddha becomes ruchi, or here rati, becomes attraction. It starts becoming something you can't live without. Almost, quote unquote, a dependence, an addiction to Krishna Katha and to association of devotees. Everything else becomes tasteless, becomes frivolous, empty, an empty shell. And then, ultimately, bhakti manifests. Srila Prabhupada translates as love or as devotion. Okay, so why I chose this verse talking about community? First of all, because this is the very essence of community. Community is not just putting a number of bodies somewhere. Okay? We go and here in Slovenia, there's not many crowds, right? I mean, it's very hard to find a crowd, even if you look for it. But in India, another populous place like China, you have crowds. And you have crowds in trains, and you have crowds in public places. But the crowd is not a community, right? They come together for their own individual purposes, and then they disperse as that purpose is achieved. People arrive all together in a train, then the train arrives and they all go their own ways. Okay? But when we talk about community, we talk about people who want to stay together, who chose to stay together, and they choose to live together. And live together a spiritual life, a life of bhakti, a practice of bhakti yoga. And so this is the very essence. And some of the titles of the topics that I was given to talk about during this series, it's about the relation between temple and congregation. Now, I want to challenge a little bit that conception. Challenge in the sense, let's explore that conception. Let's analyze that conception. Does it really fit our Vaishnava tradition, our Vaishnava theology? Well, certainly it's one way of seeing it. Yesterday we discussed this iceberg, mental models. Mental models is how, what glasses, what filters we see the world through, how we define things. And it's a way of seeing the world. It's a way of seeing ISKCON Ljubljana or any ISKCON. There's a temple and there is a congregation. And there is a community. Community, I believe, means temple and congregation together. So there is a community, there's a temple, and there's a congregation. Yesterday we spent some time in the definition of what is a success. Remember? It was about 24 hours ago. I mean, what we just churned out, and we saw that different devotees have a different see different angles, and these are all to some extent legitimate angles. Nobody said something crazy, But there are different angles, different, we could say, depth, different parameters through which to judge success. In other words, you look for success where you look. Somebody may look in one aspect, somebody may look in another aspect. Quantitative, qualitative, and so on and so forth. So, I would like to talk today about two concepts where our concept of community becomes a little bit complex. The concept of temple and the concept of clergy. Now, many of us, clergy, the priesthood, no? Sacerdotalism. You've seen priests, no? Those. So, we come from, I come from a Catholic background. I was born Catholic, and I was baptized about 6 days after my birth. I was given 7 names, which I don't even remember myself, but I have 7 names written somewhere in some church registry. One is also Maria, but I don't use that very often. So I was baptized. Then I had a stint at Catholic training. I got my first communion. I got my what's called confirmation. Confirmation? How do you call it? Confirmation? Like that. Then I even served a few times as an altar boy. And there is where I understood that Pujari will not be my line of work. Okay, so I have some background, and I think, Slovenia is a traditionally Catholic country, so it's in one sense it's natural. I'm not saying that this concept comes directly from the Catholic Church, but certainly resembles the Catholic system. The fact that there is a church, a building, a consecrated building, where there is some worship, and where people go for worship. People are not authorized to do their mass by themselves or at home, right? How many of you are baptized Catholics? How many of you are baptized in some other Christian lineage? Some other Sampradaya? How many of you grew up in totally atheistic family? Okay, let's not dig too much. Okay, and that brings up the concept of clergy. Clergy means, in all human societies, in all civilization, there is a class of people who are somewhat delegated in facilitating the interface between the society, between people and God. God or their concept of divinity, their concept of transcendence. Like Buddhist monks may not have a God, but they do have rituals, they do have mantras, they do have places of worship, they do have statues, and so on. And so there is a certain class of people who are delegated by society to do those type of things. And the rites, like funeral rites, birth rites, marriage rites, and so on. So, you could see throughout history, throughout the thousands of centuries, in India were the brahmanas. Like if you have a baby and you want to do a jata karma, all the rituals, namkarana, you give the name, you call it Brahmana. Okay? And then if you study, I mean, even 6,000 years ago, the Assyrians had their priests and their deities. And then, of course, you come here to Europe and you have Christianity with their priests and the rituals, their liturgies. And in Christianity, especially Catholicism, there are certain sacraments like baptism, like marriage, last rites. And there is one special sacrament, which is ordination of priests. And it's not for everyone. It's not expected that everyone becomes a priest. And these priests, when you are ordained, you can do certain rites that other people who are not ordained cannot do. Like, for instance, if you are a priest, Catholic priest, you can do the rite of the Eucharist. So through certain prayers, through certain procedures, you invoke the presence of Jesus in the bread, no? And that apparently becomes the body of Jesus. Now, I'm not going to elaborate that this looks like cannibalism, but it was stressed by Montezuma, the emperor of Mexico, when the Aztecs, you know, when the Spaniards came and to Mexico. One footnote: when you talk about cannibalism, nobody sleeps. Anyway, that's just for your notes, you know. Okay, so when the Spaniards came to Mexico and they saw this human sacrifice, when they saw these human sacrifices, you know, they were killing people ceremonially, ripping off their heart, offering to some deity, and so on. They were shocked, and so they spoke with the emperor. And which is called Montezuma, they call it Moctezuma, but whatever. Then he said, but what is this? What is this killing humans? And Moctezuma said, but in your religion, you kill God and you drink the blood and you drink the body of God. So what's the difference? You know, yours is much more sanguinary than ours, actually. And apparently, the Spaniard didn't have a ready answer. I never thought about that. Okay. But anyway, sorry. This was a polemic Sunday morning remark. So, but the point is that there is certain rituals that not every Christian can do. In fact, a Christian cannot give sacraments. You say you are Catholic, a good Catholic. You cannot marry people. You cannot bring two people and say, okay, I declare you husband and wife. You can't do that. A Christian who is not ordained as a priest can only give one sacrament and only in emergency situation. That's baptism. Because in their cosmogony, in their worldview, if you don't get baptized, you go into some sort of limbo, which is not the best destination. Okay? So if there is a newly born baby, and this newly born baby appears to die, even if there is no priest, and if you are Catholic, you can baptize. I baptize you in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so that's considered valid. With any liquid, you take some water like that. But why am I getting into this? I mean, nobody is going to baptize anybody here. So. But the point is, there is a very clear distinction, very clear demarcation about clergy and non-clergy. And it's clear to everybody. It's clear to everybody. The clergy generally dresses in a certain way and a certain function in society. Now, when you come to Vaishnavism, things are, especially modern Gaudiya Vaishnavism, because there are many types of Vaishnavism, and there are many types of Gaudiya Vaishnavism also. But when you come to modern Vaishnavism, the Modern Vaishnava means directly in line with Lord Chaitanya, the days of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This distinction of clergy and non-clergy disappears. Because every Vaishnava has access to first initiation, second initiation, and therefore to deity worship, and therefore to all the priestly functions of deity worship. Just like the day before yesterday, we celebrated Nishinga Chaturdasi, and how we part of the celebration was to bring Shalgram Shilas from the homes of devotees to the temple. So we accept those Shalagrams as bona fide. We accept those as forms of God. We accept them as deities. In fact, Srila Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that was about 1975, that he was considering introducing Shalagram Shila. I'm not saying Shalagram Shila is more than deities, but it is a bit, we could say, a little bit more delicate and more demanding, the worship of Shalagram Shila, than the worship of any deities. But it's deities, okay? So we accept these devotees at home as deities of the Lord, forms of God, and they worship them. And we accept them as brahmanas, at least functionally, in the sense of they can worship the deities, because they've been initiated in our sampradaya through the recommended processes and protocols. Okay? So, first concept of clergy, I hope it's clear, that the lines are blurred or even dissolved. Who is clergy, who is not clergy? Every devotee is a clergy. Just to make a parallel to Christianity, the Jehovah's Witnesses also don't accept the concept of clergy. They only have the distinction between elders and non-elders. And they consider that everyone is clergy. Everyone is Jehovah Witness. Witness means a messenger. Messenger of the Word of God. It's not a prerogative, it's not an exclusivity of a particular ordained person. So, in Vaishnavism, Gaudiya Vaishnavism, ISKCON is same. Obviously, there are differences, but every devotee, independently from where he or she lives, can take second initiation and can worship deities at home or in the temple. Like I'm sure here you have some devotees who don't live in the temple, who sometimes comes in the altar and worship. They cook for the deities and worship. So, the concept of clergy is different. And following on that, the concept of temple is also different. It's more, we could say, it's more broad, it's more liberal, it's more diffused, and it's more complex. It's more complex because the lines, what's a temple, what's not a temple, are more blurred. We're here in Nava Yoga Pitam, place of worship of Shishi Pancha Tattva, the inaugurators of the Sankirtan movement. And they inaugurated the Sankirtan movement in Shivas Thakur's home, the night kirtans were in Shivas Thakur's home. Was it a home or was it a temple? Was both. Was a home temple or temple home? No, home temple. Was a home, home temple. He had the deity, Nishinga Dev deity, and maybe other deities. And Shiva Thakur, so he was a Brahmana, and but he was his house, Shiva Thakur's house, Shiva Sangam, Shiva Thakur's residence, but was simultaneously a temple. And Srila Prabhupada stress this idea many times. Can I have the screen? We'll try to show something. If today works. Today maybe there is a better planetary alignment. Does it come? Slowly. Look where it comes. Oh, now it comes big. Let's see. No, let's see this. Well, let's see. Maybe it will work. Okay, kind of works. Ta-da. Okay, so I chose this verse because the Satan Prasangam, because really we have to understand what's the essence. Ultimately, bhakti by nature is independent of external circumstances. But the point is that Krishna consciousness, obviously, it's a very deep and individual experience of being conscious of Krishna. At the same time, of course, this Krishna consciousness manifests on different levels, on different anthropological levels. You have a society, you have a community, you may have a building, you have a culture, you have a style of eating, style of musical instrument, style of interaction, style of dressing, and you have even legal aspects, because you register in a country, you exist as a legal entity, you can own properties, and so on. So when we talk about Krishna consciousness and the Krishna consciousness movement, certainly there are a number of, we could say, levels of angles, of parameters of seeing the movement. Now, I go to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Crucial verse, this is Yaridiko Tarekao Krishna Padesh Amaragaya Guru Anyatare Desh. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying to elevate human society to the perfection of life by pursuing the method described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is, one should stay at home, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and preach the instructions of Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, Srila Prabhupada, this is an important purport, and you can go and read it sometime if you feel like. This is Lord Chaitanya instructing Kurma Brahmana, and he says, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna's instructions. In this way, become a guru and deliver this place. So Srila Prabhupada explained how this verse, particularly this verse, really encapsulates the essence of the movement. And at the end of the verse, of the purport, he says three things. One should stay at home. Obviously, this is not meaning, it's not one should stay under house arrest or anything. One can go out of the home. But one stay at home means remain in your natural circumstance. You may have a job, you may have a family. So don't abruptly change that. Don't abruptly disrupt that, which was the original idea of Kurma Brahmana. He said, I want to leave everything, I want to come. No, you stay at home, stay in your situation. Then chant Hare Krishna. We know that. That's why we are called Hare Krishna movement, because we chant Hare Krishna, propagate the chanting. And then preach. In other words, be active in being an instrument of the instructions, which is a priestly activity, which is a Brahminical activities. Because in many cultures, only the priests teach the scriptures. For instance, here in Europe, in England, for instance, at the time of Lord Chaitanya, it was prohibited to possess a Bible, a translated Bible, or even a piece of a translation. And it was punishable by death. And many people got killed. What was their crime? To have a piece of Bible, a passage of the Bible, or Bible translated into English. Because the priestly culture was so strong that no, we have monopoly of the scripture. We teach, we read. You can't. You can't. You can't touch it. The first person who translated a very good translation of the Bible in English was a person who knew Greek, you know, Latin. I'm not sure if he knew also Hebrew, but was really a good scholar. He had to escape England. And then what happened? They caught him in Belgium. They brought him back to England and they killed him. Because this criminal had dared translate the Bible into English. Pause for emphasis. So, here, Lord Chaitanya, Hiaredeko Tarekao Krishna Upadesh. Give the Upadesh of Krishna, give the instruction of Krishna, whoever you meet. So there is the sense of Mahavadanyaya, there is the sense of liberality. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, distribute books, print in as many languages as possible, print and give. And now we engage new bhaktas. They may not have even read the book fully. And they are there distributing books. So you see the complete opposite mood, which also connects with the concept of clergy. And stay at home. Chant and distribute books. But one may say, and one should say, Srila Prabhupada opened so many temples. Srila Prabhupada opened so many temples. Yes, it's a fact. Once in a letter to Gopal Krishna Maharaj, at the time not yet Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada was talking about Indian preaching, because Gopal Krishna Maharaj had some proposal, some idea, some suggestion about opening temples. And Srila Prabhupada said, opening temple is secondary. I'm opening temple in the West because there is none. So, there's no temple. There's no temple, so without place, you can't really have it. You know, training and people, you know, going to Mongol Arctic and being trained as Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis. You can't worship deities. You don't have a status, you know, if you don't have your own place of worship. And it's an important training place. But for instance, in June 1969, so in less than 2 weeks will be the 50th anniversary of this letter. Probably it won't be celebrated as the 50th anniversary of ISKCON, but we can do something. Srila Prabhupada writes to Tamakrishna, the temple, not yet Maharaj, the temple center is started just to present example to the neighboring residents how they can make a small temple in each and every home. So, obviously the temple should be an example. Everything should be pakka, to use a Hindi, pakka is Hindi? Hindi. An Hindi expression, pakka, first class. First class cleanliness, first class hospitality, first class worship, first class training, first class everything. So people should really see, this is Krishna consciousness. This is how you live in a Krishna conscious way. This is how you practice bhakti yoga in a serious way. You do austerities and so on and so forth. Like that. So, but the function is so to present example so they can make a small temple in every home. It's not that this discourse of exclusivity. It's a discourse of replication. And it's interesting that this letter is so early, 69. Because at that time, I mean, very few people were living outside and practicing Krishna consciousness. At the time, being a devotee almost meant being a temple devotee. For a number of reasons. One thing that people were very, generally quite wild, no? Boys and girls of the counterculture. So unless they were in the temple, probably they didn't have, they couldn't stay at home. First of all, they didn't have a home. Many of them, they just didn't have a home. So it's hard to stay at home if you don't have a home. But they were not really socially integrated, not like the Kurma Brahmana, So obviously when the Lord Chaitanya said to the Kurma Brahmana, he was a Brahmana, in a holy place. So he said, you stay at home. You can imagine what that means, stay at home. Huh? It was a temple, a home temple, similar to the atmosphere in Shiva Sangha. So stay at home means stay in that home. Okay. But in a normal circumstances where people are more normal and they have normal jobs and normal families and somewhat normal minds, staying at home is the default setting. Okay, but because it's so early, it's also very interesting. Now, even earlier than that, in October 68, he writes to Achyutananda and Jai Govinda. I have already written you about this in my last letter, that we require many deities for our temple, as well as our many devotees who want to worship Radha Krishna at home. So we want to introduce this deity worship in this country, and as such, we may require hundreds of pairs of deities of different sides. Now, if you go back to 68, actually, I mean, I'm not aware of many devotees who wanted to worship Radha Krishna at home. So I'm not sure Srila Prabhupada was discussing a contemporary situation or we're discussing a visionary situation. But the instructions say, buy hundreds of pairs of Radha Krishna deities, not even Gornitai. Radha Krishna deities for the temples and for the devotees who want to worship Radha Krishna at home. So this was since the beginning, 68. This is like almost 2 years before even having a GBC. Srila Prabhupada was promoting this deity worship at home and say, by the deities. So this was the vision. when we say, for instance, Srila Prabhupada says, the previous verse, previous small temple in each and every home. So the question is, just like yesterday we discussed, what's a success? So we need to discuss, what's a temple? Is a house with Radha Krishna deities a temple or not? You have 10 seconds to answer. 10, 9. Who says no? Raise your hand. Who says yes? Raise your hand. Who refuses to raise the hand, who abstains from taking part in any such voting. Okay, anyway. What do you think? I mean, nobody says, you are very, what do you call, reserved by nature and very gentlemanly, so maybe you don't want to take a stand. Okay, you have a house, and the householder couple is second initiated in ISKCON by ISKCON guru, or two different gurus, and they have Radha Krishna deities. Properly, according to the vision of Srila Prabhupada, they have the Radha Krishna deity and they worship. Is that a temple or not? Yes? Yes. Okay. Okay, letter to Brahmananda. Early. We are in the early days. The temple is an ideal institution and people should come to learn. Because if they can make every house like our temple, then their lives will surely be successful. Next, also early. We are very early. 68, September. It's not difficult to open a center for our activities. You can remain in any apartment as husband and wife and invite persons there to hear and chanting, your chanting and topics. That is our center. And let it be gradually improved. So Srila Prabhupada here gives a very, I find interesting, definition of what's a center. So we could say a center is what the center does. What's the center of Krishna consciousness? What the center of Krishna consciousness does? Provides the basic foundational experience of devotional service. Sadhu Sangha, Namakirtan, Bhagavad Shravan, Mathura Vas, Shri Murti, Shraddhaya Sevan. So, Sadhu Sangha, there is some association. In that association, there is Kirtan, Namakirtan. Bhagavat Shravan, there is some discussion and hearing of philosophy, Bhagavata philosophy. Mathura Vas, maybe not literally Mathura, but in a spiritual atmosphere. Srila Prabhupada says that one who follows in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one who follows the instruction of Lord Chaitanya, he transforms every house in Vrindavan and Navadvip. So, that experience of a spiritual place. And Sri Murti Shraddhaya Sivan. If there is a Murti, if there is a deity, then there is also the deity worship experience. Like you have many in Slovenia. How many people have shalagrams here? Ma. No. Many devotees take care of shalagram shilas. Many families. Acha. Okay. So you have this experience of home temples, and here, what does it mean? A center is what the center does. You know the expression. I don't know if it's a Slovenian expression, but in English there is this expression, money is what money does. Have you heard this expression? Come on, doesn't have money. Come on, this is like... Okay, but some money they have. Okay, so money is what money does means. Sorry, I just realized it's 9 o'clock. So I'll tell you tomorrow what money is what money does. Okay, stay tuned. I don't know. We need to stop on time. 9:10. Okay, special, the clergy also give special, what do you call, absolutions. money is what money does. In other words, what's money? Money is an instrument for the exchange of goods or services, right? I give some money and I can buy a loaf of bread. Or I give some money and I pay a taxi. Okay? It's an instrument. It's an accepted medium of exchange. Now, money takes different forms. Money takes the form of coins, metal discs in different metals, gold, silver, brass, and so on. Sometimes stone circles. Sometimes credit cards, so it's a plastic with electronic information. Sometimes it's just a click, right? Like when you buy Amazon things or you buy a ticket, you just click on something. There is a transfer of digital money from one bank to another. So that's accepted as money. Lord Chaitanya's time, conchals were also accepted as money. You go to the grocery, you say, how many? 5 conchals. Give conchals. They give you the goods. So money is what money does. And money doesn't have an intrinsic value. But if it's accepted in society that particular item is money, that is money. Like in Australia, they have money is made of plastic. The currency, no? It's plastic. So it's accepted as money. So it's money. So what is a center? A center is what center does. If it gives association, if it gives the holy name, it gives some experience of deity worship, or at least prasadam, and so on. That's a center. That's a temple. A letter to Bhavananda, 1972. We want every house to be a temple. Not that our place should be the only place for the people to come. No. This should be the process. That they learn at our place, then establish the same thing at home. Now, again, I wanted to stress that when we talk about religious community, there are certain elements that need to be defined. So, we spoke briefly about the concept of clergy And we saw that in Lord Chaitanya's movement, especially Srila Prabhupada's movement, the concept of clergy is much more diffused. Anybody who takes sacred initiation, first of all, it's available to everybody, from any background and to any gender. So it's very much available, it's very much accessible, the concept of being a clergy. Any devotee, anybody who steps from inside from that door in 2-3 years could be on the altar. Potentially. If the person is serious and sincere. Anybody who steps inside that from that door. Or another door if there's another entrance. I'm just saying. Okay. So anybody in 2-3 years can become a priest. Mishra, you want to become a priest? Gaudiya Vaishnava priest? Okay. It's a step. It's a step. Patrice, you didn't say no. Okay. Oh, thank you. Okay, so the concept of clergy needs to be analyzed, and the concept of place of worship. And we see that the concept of place of worship in Lord Chaitanya's movement and in Srila Prabhupada's movement is quite liberally defined. And in fact, these are just some quotes. There are other passages. There are passages in the books, like in the second canto. There's a passage where Srila Prabhupada says, every householder should install the deities, and the whole family should engage in the deity worship. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada says, we don't have to open centers of Krishna consciousness movement everywhere. We, meaning, what my understanding, we, the official international society, the legal entity. Whoever is interested in Krishna consciousness can open a center in their home, install deities, and then give Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And I conclude with this verse, also from the books, third canto. It's a purport. A person who is a householder but is initiated by a sannyasi, initiated by anybody, but sannyasi, as because he was talking about sannyasis, so he makes this distinction, but obviously anybody. A person who is a householder but is initiated by a sannyasi has the duty to spread Krishna consciousness at home. As far as possible, he should call his friends and neighbors to his house and hold classes in Krishna consciousness. Holding a class means chanting the holy name of Krishna and speaking from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. And that was the original idea from even when Srila Prabhupada founded the League of Devotees in Jhansi. He had four types of membership. Membership A, who will give 500 rupees a month, which at the time was quite a substantial sum of money. Membership B, I believe, was 50 rupees a month. And membership C, 10 rupees a month, which was something. 10 rupees at the time was something. The early 50s. And then there is a special category called the preaching members. Preaching members, they had to get the Bhakti Shastri degree and pay once 10 rupees. And then they didn't have to pay fees anymore. And once they get the Bhakti Shastri, they are bona fide preachers and they can preach at home the Bhagavad Gita. And in the same official, formal, circular, Srila Prabhupada say, we are more interested in the preaching members than in the sleeping members. Okay. So, in conclusion, there won't be time for questions and answers, but if you have questions, please write them down. We continue tomorrow morning. So we explored this concept of clergy and the concept of place of worship in Gaudiya Vaishnavism in ISKCON, which in one sense complicates matter. It liberalizes matter, but it complicates matter because it moves us from a simple dichotomy, place of worship, congregation. It's a little more complex than that. So, I leave you with these thoughts. I hope you could still sleep tonight. If you can't, chant Hare Krishna, what can I say? Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow morning, same place, same channel, for those who follow us online. And Hare Krishna. Jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. There are urgent questions. Somebody has a flight tonight or something. I'm here. Anybody has an urgent question? I don't know how you define urgent question, but liberal definition. Adi Purusha Prabhu has an urgent question. No, because only urgent questions are allowed at this time, at this late hour.
Hare Krishna. My question is how to ensure quality control and prevent misuse. We see that classic Vedic tradition is transmission of knowledge. On one hand, it's liberal, that if somebody is qualified, it is to be given definitely. On the other hand, Veda cries, don't give me oh Brahmana, please don't give me to the undeserving people.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Veda is crying, right? And we see for the last 50 years so many wars. First it was fist fights, now it's Facebook fights over just some one letter in a book somewhere, or one point of application, or some question, either philosophical, either abstract philosophical, or some practical question regarding to philosophy. So how to ensure quality control and prevent misuse of both Shastra and position?
Yes, thank you. So, we do have a responsibility as a registered society to choose those who can represent us officially, right? The fact that everybody can buy a book and give it to others, right? Buy, sell it, or give it as a gift. Anybody can do that. So anybody can give knowledge. At the same time, as a society, living in a civilized society, within the larger society, we certainly have the duty to carefully choose our representatives by different standards of expertise. For instance, a communication person who represents the movement, speaks with interfaith, deals with the government, deals with academia, deals with the media, it has to be qualified. Cannot be somebody who's going to say something strange and destroy the reputation of the movement. So there is an element of expertise, and there is also an element of moral standards. Somebody whose private life is really disrupted, no, by adultery or by not following the basic principles like smoking, cannot be a representative of the group. The ISKCON group cannot be responsible for a center and so on. And those, we already have some, you could say, legislations, and every local ISKCON has to decide that. Now, it's a challenge. We are discussing, if we talk about practical application, we are discussing the GBC Organizational Development Committee, and even the leaders of Slovenia. Yesterday I had a walk with two of the members of the National Council, the Community Council, and they're also thinking about the same, that the word like licensing came about. I mean, even at Jehovah's Witness, I'm sure they can't license anybody to go and represent the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so they have system. For instance, the system the Jehovah's Witnesses have is that a new person, a new witness, goes door to door with the elder witness. So they learn how to do it. There is a training. There is an exposure. There is an apprenticeship. So we do have, of course, we do have those systems. No, people can learn. People can take Bhakti Shastri. People can take Bhakti Vaibhav. They can study online. They can study the books. They can see the classes online. So there is an ongoing training. We do not have yet a very established systematic system of certification of leadership. It's something that we are working on, and we kind of started with the zonal supervisor. Ananta Prabhu took the course. Did you ever finish the course? Yes? No, not. So he graduated. So the zonal supervisor in ISKCON was an important cultural shift, because it was the first time an important leadership position required a mandatory training. So it was a year with two residential, 2 weeks, online courses, a action learning project, like a homework application, and so on. Okay? Because till then, anything in ISKCON did not require any certification. Like temple president, there's no, like, you have to have a certificate. I mean, even guru, to become a guru, the only mandatory training is it takes as long as to become a disciple. Basically, so obviously it's just the beginning, like a embryonic form of training, and so on. So now there is much more consciousness on that. Certification of leadership, we already discussed in GBC Organizational Development several times. We're going to discuss it at these meetings in Hungary at the end of the month. We presented to the GBC the concept. We are a little bit perhaps behind in terms of about certifying people who can represent the movement at different levels. Behind in the sense of in the sense that every civilized society, when you have a role in which you can hurt others, the society imposes you certain training or certain checks and balances. Like, for instance, in Slovenia, you want to become a doctor, you can't just put a sign outside your door, doctor so-and-so. No, you have to go years of training, then apprenticeship under a doctor, then to remain, if you become a doctor, to remain a doctor, you have to have a certain number of hours of ongoing training every year. And similarly, for to become an advocate, to become an architect, to become an engineer, these are all things. Even an accountant can hurt people. An accountant messes up your tax returns. You may get a fine of €1 million, you may go to jail just because the accountant made a mistake. So in human advanced society, advanced civilized, organized society, when you have a job that can hurt others, the state imposes certain standards. So in ISKCON, certainly a spiritual leader can hurt others, can hurt very much. Now, they cannot only kill the body. I'm not saying kill the soul, literally, because I heard that the soul cannot be killed. But otherwise, you know, if the soul could be killed, some spiritual leader certainly will find a way to kill the soul. You know? Okay, that was a bit polemic. But anyway, so you can hurt people very badly. You can hurt this process. Huh? You can hurt this process of Shraddha, Rati, Bhakti, if you're not careful. People can be fried, can be disappointed, can become inimical, can feel exploited. So, it's a work in progress, in the sense that the concept has been generally accepted, this concept of certification of leadership, certification of every element. It's a challenge, especially in the congregational world, because you know, people at home, what can you do? But there are obviously some drastic steps, in the sense you can go to a newspaper and say, this person does not represent ISKCON. At least you are at least legally protected, and say, look, this person is excommunicated because he started teaching things which we don't accept, so he's not a member of our society anymore, he doesn't represent our movement. So there are ways. The best, obviously, is prevention, certification, ongoing training, not the once you get, I get the little certificate now, arrivo forever. No, ongoing training, and then, of course, there are drastic cases in which we have to just divide. We have to distance ourselves from the people. So, it's something in the works. So, thank you very much. Have a very joyful Sunday. Very Krishna conscious Sunday. And I already said Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Can say it again. Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. What's that? An urgent question? Ah, or was an expression of a joy? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.